And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
What is going on, listeners? Welcome into RBLR Bucks, your home for Tampa Bay Buccaneers football 365 days a year. No days off, no off season, just straight football talk from right here in the heart. The 813-727, wherever you're listening to this. But hey, look, on the real though, listeners, we appreciate y'all for tapping in, whether you're cruising down Gulf to Bay Boulevard or posted up by the water or, you know, cooling off inside with that Florida heat, you know, going crazy outside. Thank you for rocking with us. Now, yeah, I know it's the off season, and come on, if you're a real Bucks fan though, you know, there's always something cooking. We are 1 week or we're another week closer to the draft. You know, we are one step closer to those, or maybe, you know, some big time signing. And before you know it, then we'll be back under those lights at Raymond James. So here at RBLR Bucks, we don't believe in that off-season energy. It's year-round smoke. So make sure y'all stay involved too. Drop a comment, hit us up wherever you're listening to this. Let us know your takes. Who do you want in the draft? Who should we sign? What's the move? This is your show as much as it is ours. And also, of course, a huge shout-out to the rest of the RBLR crew holding it down across Tampa Bay, covering all our squads. You know, we got love for all y'all grinding across, you know, our lovely city. And today, it's that time. Draft talk is heating up. Boards are moving and, you know, names are rising, or some names are dropping maybe. But we're diving into it. Now, look, we are not Mel Kuypers. All right, so guess what, guys? Please, it makes it so much better when we got real fans like y'all talking ball with us. So we want your voice in it too. But enough from me. It's time to bring in my guy, bringing that same Florida fiery energy, that passion, that straight up Bucks fire every single episode. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Carter Brantley. What's the good word, my friend?
Oh, the draft. That is the good word for the Bucks and for the NFL. Yeah, excited to talk some prospects. This is always my favorite time of year. Well, other than, you know, the regular season, of course. But, yeah, it's the best time of the offseason, man. Everyone's talking about the various, you know, you hear a lot about needs and fits and the RAS, which is the relative athletic score. We'll get into all of that. So, yeah, I mean, it's a really fun time of year. Today we're doing interior defensive linemen and safeties, so it should be a lot of fun. We're going to start with interior defensive line in the first half of the episode. In the second half, we're going to go with safeties. And at the end of each positional segment, I'm going to ask, in this case, it's just Mr. Musab Tariq, but we'll go through Zach Blaine's guys as well, and we'll go over his results for each position. But at the end of each position, we're going to go through which of our selections we want to be our guy, if you will. And the way I think of it is just sort of like who we would think that the Bucks would draft, whether it's like slot or whether it's because they're actually really good. Regardless, just the reasoning behind it and who our favorite from each of these positions is. We'll have a my guy segment. And then at the end, we'll try to go back and look at who some of our guys were and see if any of them hit, you know, because you never know. But it's a lot of fun. Regardless, let's get into it. You know, I'm sitting here flapping my gums about it. We might as well talk about it. We'll start with interior defensive line, as I said, and we go through each one, round one guys, round two / round three guys, and a day three guy in case you haven't listened to one of our draft episodes, one of our position guys. So we'll start with round one, interior defensive line. My guy was Caleb Banks. He's kind of a popular one because, you know, he's a UF guy. He got a 9.84 relative athletic score, just a really insane athlete, frankly. Just the main concern with him is just injuries, staying healthy. So that's kind of the big thing for him. But he was very productive in college. He had a really productive college career with the Gators. And he's projected to go kind of in the middle of the first round, right around where the Bucks are picking. Definitely not my guy. Frankly, it would be a little bit surprising if the Bucks went with Caleb Banks or any other interior defensive lineman here in round one, just because it's a bit early for them. But maybe they're really high on Banks or some of these other interior defensive linemen in round one. But because of that, Musab, you don't have a guy for round one, right?
I do not. Yeah. You know, I don't want to take Zach's, and I think, you know, we can just, you know, use this opportunity to bring Zach's guy, which was
sure
Caden McDonald, because if not Caden McDonald or Caleb Banks, I honestly, I really, really cannot imagine, you know, picking anyone else. First of all, as you said, Carter, I'm not big on getting an interior defensive lineman. I will say, though, I have seen, I know definitely one, you know, mock with Caleb Banks from, I remember I saw it from those like Bucks draft, like mock roundups. So it wasn't like from the, you know, the Buccaneers, but it was like some, I forgot what journalist, but you know, these CBS, Fox Sports analysts. So I don't want to say, I don't think it's a crazy, you know, idea to do that, but it's crazy to choose anyone but Caleb Banks or Caden McDonald if you're going, you know, interior defensive line this early. Caden McDonald, dude, he's an animal, you know, kind of like, you know, what Zach was saying. He's a very good run defender, you know, roadblock of a man. Not a great pass rusher, but I think, you know, he's going to just play that Vita Vea role, you know, really well, eventually replace him. And, I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking, too. He's like the, you know, Vita Vea heir, you know. He's a pure run stuffer, low center of gravity. So just, you know, nearly impossible to move a guy like him on first and second down. So, of course, the whole thing is the whole pass rush thing. But, no, man, both these guys, absolute nasty. But, yeah, I wouldn't want us reaching this early for anyone but them two.
Yeah, I mean, Banks is probably Caden McDonald's outstanding, too. They would both be really interesting to line up next to Vita Vea, and then, like you said, eventually sort of take over that nose tackle position potentially, or maybe they see them as kind of just complementary pieces to Vita Vea, because that stout run defense that was just first every year, I mean, the Ndamukong Suh days with Levante David, you know, David's gone, unfortunately, and obviously Suh's been gone for a few years now, so that stout run defense is not as impressive as it used to be. So I think that, you know, drafting a guy like Caden McDonald wouldn't be the worst thing in the world at all. Like you said, really stout run defender. So that'll be something really interesting to monitor going forward if they decide to go that route in round one. It would be perhaps a little bit surprising, but at the same time, not the worst thing in the world, because it's defense. You know, they need just defense really across the board, frankly. But round two, round three, that's sort of where I think we can realistically get into, okay, this is an area where the Bucks could maybe address this position. Mr. Tariq, who did you have for this day two, if you want to call it that slot?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I had Christian Miller from University of Georgia, thinking like a late second round, early third round projection. Is, you know, what I've, you know, been seeing across, you know, a couple of websites. But elite run defender, you know, consistently he'll fill the gaps, you know, stops runs on the inside, you know, he has a pretty quick first step, you know, before, you know, any sort of play really develops, strong hands. But, you know, kind of like with Caden McDonald, limited pass rush production, you know, struggles to kind of finish plays at the quarterback. A little bit of the inconsistency with tackling, you know, a noticeable increase in missed tackles. But for the most part, I mean, you know, he can kind of be a little bit of that, you know, Todd Bowles special in this case. You know, he's kind of like a multi-tool. You know, you want a player who can kind of move around the line, a little bit of that agility. So those are the things that I like. But the other downside is also like a recent shoulder surgery he had is also something, you know, concerning.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely an interesting – I've seen him mocked in a lot of drafts to the Bucks with that round two pick. So that'll definitely be an interesting storyline to monitor to see how his day goes in round one, because some mocks have him going at the end of round one. So it's kind of interesting, but he could sneak through and the Bucks could pick him up in round two for sure. So that'll be a really good one. A guy who's kind of rising on a lot of boards. I know he kind of was an unknown for a lot of folks. This is my guy. This is my favorite pick for the Bucks in the interior defensive line realm. Grayson Halton. Size is a bit of an issue here. He's a bit undersized for an interior defensive lineman, both in height and weight, but he was really, really productive at Oklahoma this past year. Probably more of like a round three guy, if I had to guess, but, you know, maybe he falls to round four too. I don't know though. He's been such a riser recently, especially with his testing scores. I mean, his combine scores were really, really impressive, especially for an interior defensive lineman. His vertical and his 40-yard dash time were both excellent. So it depends on, you know, depends on your view of the interior defensive line. Depends on your view of this guy, obviously, if you have what type of grade that other teams have on him. He could be kind of that rotational pass rusher from the interior defensive line that could provide some depth in case Kancey goes down, in case Elijah Roberts isn't quite developing the way that they want him to. So I think this would be a really interesting pick for round three. Round two would probably be a bit too much of a reach for me, even though I am enthusiastic about Halton. I think he could be a really good player, but that might be a bit of a reach for me. But regardless, Halton is my guy. And Mr. Zach Blaine, for his day two guy, if you want to call him that, Lee Hunter, he is just a massive human being. I mean, all of these guys are going to be huge, but this guy, even more so than the rest, pretty decent run defender. He's got all the tools to become better and develop in that area as well. But, you know, he was playing in the Big 12, which is a very good football conference, don't get me wrong, but it seemed like he would rely on that size and ability to kind of dominate people in that regard rather than an actual ability or more of a refined tool. Toolkit, if you will. But he's a really interesting one. I mean, he's coming in at 6'4", 318. That's some massive human being. Unfortunately, he didn't grade out super well with his vertical, especially like one percentile in vertical, first percentile, if you want to call it that. And his broad jump wasn't great. But luckily, like I said, the size is just so tantalizing that it almost makes up for it. So we'll see how he's able to develop. He was even a two-way guy in high school, which was really interesting because he was an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman. So he kind of uses that intelligence a lot in the run game, especially because he was really good at wrapping up people behind the line of scrimmage, generated a lot of tackles for losses for a guy coming at the interior defensive line spot. So some really interesting names so far here. But now we're going into the day three spot, excuse me. And my guy is – we talk about sort of traits versus production with a lot of these draft picks. And my day three guy, he's my second favorite. He was real close to being my guy instead of Halton, but DeMonte Capehart out of Clemson. He's rising a lot because of his combine testing, above 90th percentile for interior defensive linemen in terms of height, 40-yard dash time and vertical. Also has a massive wingspan. These are just things that you can't really teach. So teams look at his limited starting experience for someone who's already 23. That's a bit older for an NFL draftee. And he's kind of the opposite of Halton. No production whatsoever, really. I think he only started 12 games throughout his career throughout his collegiate career, which is a bit of a red flag because you're thinking, well, look, this guy's massive. This guy's a ridiculous athlete. Why didn't he see the field more? So that's a bit of a red flag and probably the reason why he'll stay as a day three pick. But for a team that's willing to take a shot on a guy with some massive traits, Capehart is not a bad guy to take a swing at. He'll probably be round five, round six, not really a round seven guy. I'd be surprised if he lasts that long because of the good testing scores. But we'll see. The Bucks would be remiss to not take a shot at this type of guy. But Mr. Tariq, who's your day three fella for the interior defensive line?
Yes, sir. Yeah, my day three guy was Skylar Gil Howard from Texas Tech. He is also my guy. I think, here's the my guy stamp. So here's why he's my guy. I think, you know, I've seen some projections like, you know, fifth round probably. If he's there later, you know, anyone's lucky to have him. He's a steal in the later rounds, kind of like the, you know, projection pick. And he's not your typical kind of, you know, 300-pound, you know, interior lineman. He actually started his career as like a 240-pound linebacker, and then he bulked up to like nearly 290. He's got that, you know, linebacker DNA, the lateral movement, the closing speed. It's all real good for the interior. He actually, give the shout out as to who I found this, but yeah, CBS Sports had mentioned he actually hit 19 miles per hour on a GPS tracker during the game. Talk about speed. But you know, I just think that, you know, the impact in a Todd Bowles defense, you know, kind of, you know, that loves to, you know, kind of, you know, loop around, you know, finding, you know, having defensive tackles in a different gap. So I think his speed's a weapon. He can chase down like a dual threat quarterback, you know, than your traditional, you know, kind of nose tackle. But you know, of course, there's always a little bit of the downsides that are never fun, which, you know, is, you know, one being the size. But You know, bigger linemen can slow him down. He has a little bit of history, injury history. So if anything, I mean, if you're getting a guy like this, you know, this late, you would want to hope at bet or, you know, worst, at least like a rotational guy who could, you know, kind of grow into, you know, more of a, you know, a starter role if it all clicks. But, you know, kind of just, you know, thinking about, you know, Bucks priorities and all that, I think, you know, this would be kind of a good defensive lineman to kind of wait on if we don't get anyone beforehand.
Yeah, absolutely. A great depth piece for sure. Yeah, that quick step and the speed is really rare for the interior defensive line. That can be kind of an eye-popping type of thing. Yeah, I love Gil Howard. He's a really great shout. I'm definitely interested to see where he ends up, how he does at the NFL level. So Mr. Blaine's day three guy, a bit of a risk that I don't know that Jason Light's going to be willing to take, to be quite honest, but it's Xavien Harris out of Ole Miss. If this guy was – if you were just looking at him as the football player, yeah, he should be like a day two, day one guy. Unfortunately, he's got some off the field stuff, a couple arrests. So it's kind of tough. But as a football player, just purely if he can figure it out, if he can keep his head straight, he's 6'8", 330. He's a massive human being. He also has some special teams experience. And man, he's got some real chops in that regard. So, you know, unfortunately, like I said, he's got some character concerns, some off the field issues. So, you know, maybe if it's a seventh round type of thing, maybe it's worth taking a shot at. But it's also one of those things. Jason Light has been kind of clear about the fact that, you know, he's not necessarily willing to take shots on guys that are not nice people, shall we say. Like he said it in a very different way that probably can't say on this show. But yeah, Xavien Harris, if he's willing to look past that, if he's willing to maybe he does well in interviews. Maybe he shows like, hey, I've grown, I've progressed, because he was 20 when he had those arrests. So he was a young kid. But we'll see how that goes. We'll see if Harris is still around in the day three, because, you know, maybe a team jumps up at the opportunity to pick a guy with the traits that he has and he ends up getting picked a little earlier. But who knows? We'll see. Harris is an interesting name to watch for sure. But if you're looking for an interesting addition to your wardrobe, if you are looking at your clothing options, your apparel options, and thinking, man, it's looking a little dry, if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe, just like the Bucks should be upgrading their interior defensive line, then head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got you covered there. We'll give you a 10% off code Canon, CANNONS. Type it in at the end of your order, and you'll get 10% off your entire purchase. Head there. We'd really appreciate it. It's a way to support the podcast. But anyways, moving on to the second half of our show, we've got the safety position. That's the second half of this draft position preview, if you will. And it's a good one. The safety spot is an interesting one because you view it, at least I don't know how you approached it, Mr. Tariq, but I viewed this as more of a opportunity to draft either a slot guy, a guy who can move around a lot, or a backup safety, because their depth is non-existent. Like, they do not have anyone behind Tyke Smith and Antoine Winfield Jr., especially looking at how the Seattle Seahawks played with Nick Emmanuori. I mean, they really used him really efficiently, really effectively. Unfortunately, not really Nick Emmanuori in this draft. There aren't very many in any drafts, frankly. He is a really one-of-one unique player. I know that word gets tossed around a lot, but it actually applies for him. Not necessarily a guy like that in this draft, but there are some slot guys that the Bucks could take a shot on if they want to put them in there and then move Parrish, kick him outside, because Parrish was pretty good in the slot last year. So anyways, after all that background information, we'll get into it, because I wanted to give a little look into our thought process. We'll start with Zach Blaine's guy. It's Dylan Thynemann. This is really an interesting pick if the Bucks went here, because he's a really, really elite athlete. Had a 4.35 40, very high IQ guy. He had a great collegiate career. He was a 3-year starter. The tape is just outstanding with Dylan Thynemann. If he's there at 15, it would be really interesting to see the Bucks take a shot at him, because then maybe Tyke Smith moves back to slot. I don't know, but I really like Dylan Thynemann as a pick just in general, and the Bucks would obviously be really lucky to have him as a pick or as a player. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see if they end up picking the former Oregon Duck. I think he transferred from Purdue after his junior season, and he's a really interesting player to watch, and we'll see how his NFL career progresses. If the Bucks don't take him in round one, he will absolutely go in round one. He's a bona fide round one guy. But Mr. Tariq, who's your round one pick for the Bucks?
Yeah, man. My round one is AJ Halsey from LSU. Projected, of course, you know, be like a round one guy. There's definitely some, you know, some real good names. So, I mean, if he's available, someone to think about. Plays like a traditional strong safety, like a down low playmaker. Does best, you know, in the, you know, short zone. Kind of like the, you know, the box enforcer, like the, you know, the big nickel. So the good part is, you know, he's a tone setter. If you want that kind of NFL tier grit, you know, he's got the size, the hits, you know, to back it up. Fills gaps like a linebacker, you know, at 213, he plays every bit of it. So he's a, you know, he's been around a few colleges, you know, just, you know, starting, I think at first it was at like New Mexico and then Houston, then yeah, then LSU. So a lot of experience, just year by year, he's proven, you know, he's a dog out there. The bad thing though is, you know, with the size, he's a little bit kind of, you know, I guess stiff, you know, struggles to flip and run. You know, you can't leave him on an island against like a shifty slot receiver.
Sure, right.
He'll get grabby and, you know, draw flags. So he's not like a center fielder kind of guy. If you play him, you know, lone deep safety, he's not going to be able to cover the sidelines in time.
Right. Yeah, I like him a lot. I think he'll have a good NFL career regardless of where he ends up. And the good news with him, I've seen him mocked as early as round one. So the Bucs could have to spend a first-round pick, but there are some mocks that have him falling to round two. So A.J. Halsey is an interesting name to watch regardless of round one or round two for the Bucs, because if he falls to round two, he'd be a really outstanding sort of safety to fill in and he, a very versatile piece. He could line up at a lot of different spots. So I like that selection a lot. My guy is unfortunately a little bit more rigid in terms of versatility, so this is a bit of a more of a long shot, if you will, but Emmanuel McNeil Warren out of Toledo. Toledo is just a defensive back factory. They've been producing some defensive backs crazy out there, so that's been really fun. But he's an elite box defender. He plays that role really, really well. He's graded out super well on PFF. He was a three-year starter at Toledo. He was pretty much, I think, 85 plus at PFF all 3 years at Toledo. Stupid tall, 6'4", but a little limited across the other athletic traits. And you worry a little bit because Toledo, you know, they're not in the SEC or the Big Ten or Big 12 or anything like that. And he's a little light and he doesn't grade out well athletically either. But man, he plays with an edge. Like, he definitely uses that 6'4" frame to his maximum capacity. And he's also excellent in coverage. So it would be a massive addition to this defense. Unfortunately, it kicks Tyke to the slot, which I think the Bucs are a little bit hesitant to do. So this would have to be someone that the Bucs just really love and that they say, hey, Tyke, we want to kick you to the slot, move Jacob Parrish to the outside. So there would be a lot of moving parts that I don't know the Bucs are willing to do. But McNeil Warren, really interesting guy to watch. I'll go right into my day two guy, if you will, Kamari Ramsey out of USC. He lined up a lot in the slot. He would be a guy that they would maybe view as a potential starter there. But he's definitely a jack of all trades, master of none. That's not necessarily his strongest suit or his strongest position or role, but you don't really label him as that. Like, he's not really a center fielder type of guy. He's also not really amazing in the box, but he's solid enough in each of those spots to be a versatile piece. He's a little undersized, so his tackling ability, that kind of contributes to his lack of true box dominance that we were talking about with like McNeil Warren and Halsey almost. But he's very good in coverage and he can keep up with tight ends and man coverage. So he's a very intelligent player. Unfortunately, the big bugaboo with him is also that he's injury prone, but he did have an 8.6 relative athletic score. So that's really impressive as well. So Kamari Ramsey out of USC, he's my guy for day two. Zach Blaine's guy, I really love his pick, and this is his guy. Jalon Kilgore out of South Carolina. He had the highest RAS, relative athletic score of anyone at the safety position, 9.97. Another South Carolina safety that's just an insane athlete. I mean, last year it was Emenwari. This year it's Kilgore. I'm not saying he's Emenwari, but he would be really interesting. I like this pick a lot. 6'1", 210. He had 8 picks last year, 21 breakups, very good in coverage, solid against the run. But the big issue with him is that he can kind of be a little bit overly aggressive. Like, he didn't get those 8 picks and 21 pass breakups because he was laying back in coverage. He can be a bit jumpy, a bit over aggressive, so he can give up some big plays sometimes. But regardless, I think this would be a really interesting super nickel type of guy, like a guy who you can plug into the nickel spot and then be stout against the run and not give up a whole lot while also being really interesting in coverage. And that seems to be kind of, you know, they call it a copycat league, and that's what the Seahawks were doing a lot last year. So I do wonder if Kilgore is a second round guy or if he lasts to the third round. Regardless, I think he would be a really interesting pickup for the Bucks. So shout out to Zach, man. I think he nailed this day two pick. I would be really excited if the Bucks got him. But Mr. Tariq, who's your day two guy for the safety spot?
I was just going to say, man, I want to give a shout out to Zach too, man. Kilgore is an absolute animal, man. Yeah. I'll tell you this, man. I'll take a guy who is more physical than less physical than he should be. You know what I'm saying? You can always just chew the guy out and be like, hey, bro, like, sag off. Then it's just harder to, you know, tell a guy, hey, man, you got to be more physical. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then anyways, but hey, my guy, this is my guy, you know, for round two and three is Zucky Wheatley from Penn State. Deep zone specialist. He has that kind of long strider speed and elite strength. He stands at 6'2". Former receiver, you know, so he tracks the ball like a pro, baits the QBs into throwing deep, you know, uses his long arms to, you know, rack up an interception or something. So you can, you know, play him as a split safety and big nickel or even a roaming, you know, free safety. You know, got the discipline down. Unlike Kilgore, he actually has zero penalties in his college career. He's a very clean individual. He's a coach's player who knows his assignment. You know what I'm saying? Just, he's out there, gets the job done, you know what I'm saying, takes care of business. So the tackling technique, though, is a little bit of the kind of the bad part. You know, that's the big one. He's a lunger, you know. So, you know, you hear so many times coaches yelling at their guys, wrap up. Well, unfortunately, that's something that he's got to work on a little bit, too. You know, instead of wrapping up, he kind of tries to throw his body at people, leading to, you know, some, you know, missed tackles. So a little bit on the thin side, you know. Some, you know, big dog tight end could easily, you know, kind of shield him away or something. But sometimes, you know, just being a little bit, you know, having tunnel vision on the QB, kind of, you know, getting thrown off by a play action, you know, kind of gets him out of position. But for the most part, though, I think, you know, if he's available, you know, in these later rounds, I think he'd be a great pick. You know, someone who could, you know, definitely earned that spot, you know, very quick. I think, you know, like a developmental starter type guy, you know?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I mean, Penn State's produced a lot of defensive players in general, especially. I mean, you think of them as LBU specifically, but their defensive backs have been quite excellent as well. I try not to put the college labels on guys, but you know, it's fun too sometimes for silly purposes. And yeah, he's another one. I mean, Wheatley's going to be really, really interesting to watch. Yeah. I mean, you hear it a lot. Like, none of these guys are going to be perfect draft prospects, especially the later we go into these rounds. And so even the day two guys, they're going to have their flaws, and some of them, you know, you kind of can learn to live with, and some of them will be so massive that unfortunately they just can't cut it at the NFL level. And that's, you know, that's the draft. That's how it goes. But hopefully, obviously, Wheatley is one that can figure it out. But Mr. Tariq, I'll let you breeze on through. Who's your day three guy for the safety spot?
Yes, sir. Day three is Lewis Moore from the Indiana University. This guy just, you know, he's a dude who knows how to play football. The instincts are, you know, legit, you know, reading things right, finding it, you know, the ball, the interceptions are there. He fits real well in zone. You can trust him back there. You know, he doesn't have that, you know, top tier speed. So if he does get deep, you know, if he gets beat deep, you know, it's kind of tough for him to recover. And the size, you know, shows up when he's tackling too. So, again, you know, scheme matters, you know, a lot for a guy like him. But I think he's got that, you know, that high IQ, you know, zone defender, probably best in like a cover two, cover four, where he only has to guard like a, you know, a specific quarter on the field. So just someone who's got a, I don't want to say kind of like a developmental, you know, physical project, but I think, you know, he's, you know, and I've seen it from so many, you know, sources from, you know, Draft Buzz and, you know, even PFF. He's known to have that kind of high IQ, knowing to be a quick learner. Even though he has that smaller side, he still explodes to his hips, but still has a little bit of things to do. And I guess age is a factor. He'll be a 25-year-old rookie. So most teams prefer a younger project like, you know, perhaps Zucky Wheatley, who you know, they have more time to mold, you know?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, those Indiana.
But then guys, again, when it's day three, you know, how picky can you be?
Right. No, for sure. But hey, the Indiana fellas, man, we'll get into the cornerback spot. And my guy for cornerback is definitely an Indiana guy. They've got some really, really great players. Kurt Cignetti did a great job out there with that team. Obviously, they won it all. So clearly they're doing something right. And it's always fun to pick a guy from the national championship team, even if it is a day three pick. But yeah, the age is probably the biggest concern for me with Lewis Moore. Like you mentioned, it's tough to crack a team when you're 25. I mean, there are guys that are 25 that are entering their third or fourth season, you know, so it can be a little bit tougher for sure. But yeah, I really like him. But Zach Blaine's guy, I also really like Michael Taff out of Texas. He's one of those underdog stories, really undersized. He comes in at only 5'9", but has all the work ethic and everything. You know, they really, really like him at Texas, but he's coming out in the draft because of his leadership ability. Frankly, he was really, really good in coverage because of that, really great communicator, and his tackling improved in 2025. He really took some massive steps forward. Unfortunately, because of that lack of size, he's not 5'9". I'm sorry. He's 6 feet tall. He's 189 pounds. So he is still undersized. He's a little skinnier. So that's a bit tough. But he's got a decent amount of closing speed. He struggles a little bit in that center field role. But, man, his leadership ability is off the charts. So he would be a really interesting special teams contributor for that day three role. Maybe even develop into a captain of the special teams unit as he progresses throughout his career. So, yeah, Michael Taff, really good shout. I've loved Zach Wayne's day two and day three picks for this safety spot. And Dylan Thineman's great, too. It's a round one guy, so it's kind of easy to pick the round one guys sometimes, but the day two and day three, I think Zach Blaine uncovered some real gems here. Really love the safety spot for him. My day three guy is my guy, Isaiah Nwokobia. Definitely a round three guy, or definitely a round seven guy. He was pretty rough in 2025, not an outstanding season, but he was really good in 2024 at SMU. They moved him around constantly. He's a very intelligent player, but unfortunately he just is a little bit limited physically. And I think that got exposed a little bit last year, because they kind of tried to make him more into a center field type of safety, a guy that chases down a lot of the deeper balls. And he just lacks that speed. And unfortunately he also lacks the size to be really a dominant box defender safety either. But he makes up for it, like I said, with that high IQ. So he could be a really, really outstanding player if he's just kind of allowed to be a little bit less rigid in his role. Because I think in 2024, when they moved him around constantly, I think he was a lot more locked in, just because he's so smart that he just diagnoses things at a different level than a lot of these other guys. But unfortunately, his physicality sometimes has a hard time catching up. So we'll see if he's able to latch on in round seven or round six. Maybe the Bucs take a flyer on him and he develops into a good depth/special teams kind of guy at the safety spot. But any closing thoughts on the safety position, Mr. Tariq, before we're kind of nearing the end of our episode? Any closing thoughts on this position for the Bucs?
No, man. I'll probably say I would be – well, maybe a question for you is, you know, where would you rather have us, you know, reach out a little bit more sooner for a safety than an interior defensive line? You know, these are a little bit more of our later priorities.
Right. Which position gets picked first?
I would probably say, you know, is where I'm thinking is I'd probably go with safety.
Really? Interesting. Because I was going to interior defensive line going first. Man, that's cool. I love when we have a difference.
I would rather get the best safety available out there than I think like Caden McDonald and Caleb Banks are absolute animals. But after that, I just feel like it just gets a little steep. You know what I'm saying?
And even Banks and them, you know, both of those guys have their flaws. Like Banks and McDonald are not certified slam dunk picks.
Yeah. No, dude. I think out of all of these, I would probably say, I would go safety. And again, shout out to Zach.
Thyneman's the best.
I think Kilgore being where he is in that kind of mid draft, that would be nasty, dude.
Yeah, I think these are both positions that we could see as early as round two and round three. Like, I think Kilgore round two, and then Grayson Halton round three would be interesting. But Kilgore round two or round three, and then Capehart in the later rounds, or maybe they pick Capehart and Nwokobia, or the guy that
I was just gonna say, man, don't sleep on this dude. This guy I'm already starting to fall in love with this guy just based on his last name now.
I know. Yeah, it's fantastic.
You know, I have to say there's something fun about these day three guys who you find, because you're like, okay, you know, you're going down the list. You're like, okay, this guy's clearly going to be round one. But, you know, do I want him to be my round one guy?
Right.
But after round two or three, the world is your oyster. You know what I'm saying? You're not just going to the next page. You know, page one and two on these draft sites is like, you know, round one, round two, round three. No, I'm skipping page three and four.
Yeah,
I'm going page one, two, and then five. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
I'm looking for a College of the Holy Cross hidden gem.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I know Zach Glenn would hate that because he hates small schools. No, but I feel you. No, there's a lot of talent that can be sort of uncovered in these day three rounds. I mean, we see it every year. Teams get starters or really important contributors to.
I think the biggest thing to take away from any day three guys, can you just be a role player? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's all we ask from you.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, you hear it a lot in basketball, especially nowadays, like everything's become, I mean, baseball too, like it's become incredibly specialized. And I think football is sort of following that trend too, where like, if you can't do at least one thing really well, like if you don't have a niche or a role, then it's going to be tough for you to make a roster unless you're like a blue chip bona fide talent. So yeah, it's really fascinating to see how these day three guys sort of make their way through these teams. Cause you know, who predicted the Bucks would pick up David Walker last year, you know, David Walker, a small school guy that was a really, really productive in his time, but unfortunately didn't play the steepest competition. And unfortunately got hurt obviously last year, but, we'll see if the Bucks take another swing at a small school guy and give Zach Blaine a conniption. But, regardless, we'll be covering the NFL draft throughout the rest of the offseason. That's going to be the theme for the next few weeks. We really appreciate y'all tuning in. Hit that like and subscribe button on your way out. Thank you to my wonderful co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq, and to super producer Eureka Wheeler. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week. But until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.